Now, the Trump administration has announced a new eviction moratorium scheduled to be in place through the end of the year. The order, which comes from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, protects renters from being evicted if they meet certain requirements. This comes after another federal eviction ban ended in late July and a state-level moratorium expired in May. Economic experts had been warning of another wave of evictions as millions of people deal with lower incomes or job loss during the COVID-19 pandemic. Mitch is a clinical law professor and the director of the Economic Justice Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Law. He's an expert on Wisconsin's rental housing law. Mitch, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here, Judith.
The first question I want to ask is, why did this come from the CDC? Is that kind of unusual?
It certainly is unusual to see an order come from the CDC with respect to rental housing. But we are in the midst of a global pandemic, and the CDC's charge is to take care of health. And so this is framed as a protection for the nation's health, is to create this nationwide eviction moratorium, barring most evictions, not all, but most evictions, to protect certainly the direct health of people who, if they were evicted, might end up in a situation where they get or spread COVID-19, not to mention the indirect health effects, which are substantial.
So millions of people have lost their jobs during the pandemic, and it has been a really stressful time financially for so many people. Paying rent has been one of the big concerns. Have we seen a rise in evictions here in Wisconsin during the pandemic?
Well, so in Wisconsin, Governor Evers passed a statewide eviction moratorium from that was in effect from March 27th through May 26th or 27th. And so during that time, evictions were down 97%. And then so we had, so for instance, from the month from the eviction, we had about 59 evictions from March to April, April to May, 70 evictions. And then the eviction moratorium lifted. And from May through late June, we had almost 2,700 households had evictions filed against them in the state of Wisconsin.
So how did that work with the eviction moratorium that was part of the Federal CARES Act expiring only on July 24th? How those that happened after the statewide one went away, why were they not covered under the federal?
So this the CARES Act eviction moratorium only applied to federally financed rental housing, so loans that were primarily through federally financed properties. So if lessors had their mortgage loans through Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, then it would apply. But that did not cover a large number of folks.
So the state one expired earlier than the more limited federal one, and you said that there was a huge uptick in the number of evictions after the state moratorium expired. What happened after that July 24th CARES Act expiration date? Did we see a similar uptick?
Yeah, so in the month of June to July, so I suppose that's before the CARES Act, but we've seen another 2,400 evictions in late June to late July, and from late July to late August, another 2,300 evictions filed in Wisconsin.
So this new federal moratorium on evictions, which, as we said, is unusually being issued by the CDC, what kind of impact do you expect it to have? Is this going to be a really useful resource for people in Wisconsin who are at risk of eviction?
Absolutely, this will definitely be a useful resource. If you know, going by the numbers, the state moratorium reduced evictions again by about 97%, and so that through the end of the year, the moratorium goes through the end of the calendar year here. If that holds, if there's no court challenge, I would anticipate that there will be 10,000 fewer families or households that face eviction in the state of Wisconsin.
We're talking right now with Mitch. He's a clinical law professor and the director of the Economic Justice Institute at the UW-Madison School of Law. He is an expert on Wisconsin's rental housing laws, and he's with us to help us understand who can apply for protections under the newly announced federal eviction moratorium that is coming from the CDC. You can join in by calling 800-642-1234. And Mitch, I want to talk about who qualifies for protection, because there are some very specific categories and requirements that you have to meet. So first of all, do people need to take specific action or file paperwork to be protected, or is it just kind of magically in place?
Well, it should have effects that most lessors don't file evictions for non-payment of rent, because what you're going to see is a lot of folks who would qualify. So people who are property owners, like myself, actually, shouldn't be filing eviction actions if there's a non-payment of rent, because you might run afoul of it. That said, if you're a renter, you absolutely should fill out. The CDC has provided a declaration form to declare and state that you do qualify. The qualifications, again, are quite broad. One needs to allege that they, or swear rather, that they make less than $99,000 for an individual or $198,000 for a household. They need to have made their best efforts to obtain government assistance for to pay their rent, and further swear that they're unable to pay their rent due to a loss of income or hours or being fully laid off. And again, that they've made their best efforts to make timely partial payments as their circumstances may be permitted. They have to allege that they, if evicted, would likely become homeless, move into a homeless shelter, or live in close quarters, which is often sort of doubling up or tripling up and not being sort of safe occupancy because of an eviction. They also have to swear that they understand that this doesn't forego their rent obligation. They still have to make their rent obligation. They have to, basically their rent continues to accrue, and that the moratorium would expire on December 31st.
And that's a really important point, I think, Mitch, because there have been advocates who have been very happy that this is in place, but very worried that people aren't going to understand, or even if they understand, are going to be hit with this huge bill, probably, unless they can negotiate something, a huge lump sum that could be demanded, say, January 1st.
Yeah, absolutely. The positive way to look at that risk, which is very real, is that right now everyone, lessors and their lessees, have 4 months to work out some type of payment plan, some type of way to make things work. And hopefully, what the other really important thing is that this will provide stability for people to look for work and not have to worry about looking for work and looking for housing or responding to an eviction filing. So hopefully folks are able to work with one another.
And I want to let our listeners know that we will have that declaration form from the CDC linked to the segment note for this conversation. You can find that over at WPR.org/Central Time. Let's go to the phones at 800-642-1234. And Susie in Waukesha is up. Hi, Susie.
Hi. So I'm wondering if you can speak to the landlord side of the situation. I have only two very small properties, like two units each. And it is all I make my money on, which is such a low income that I actually qualify for federally assisted health care, for example. And I'm on a forum online of landlords who are talking about this. And there has been no moratorium on the payment of the mortgages. So how are landlords, particularly small ones who are not a huge corporation and can probably afford to float for a while, how are we supposed to do this? People are panicking because we're all saying, look, I'm not going to pay for my own kids' food. I'm not going to be able to pay my own mortgage. This is how I make my money. And if people, you know, I understand from the side of a renter who cannot pay the rent, truly cannot pay the rent because of COVID. On the other hand, there are, in fact, people who take advantage of this situation. And even if there weren't, how do we manage if, you know what I mean? If there's no moratorium for the mortgage payments, we're just going to go belly up. We're just going
to. Okay. Thanks for that, Susie. I want to give Mitch a chance to respond. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. And Mitch, I'm guessing that Susie is far from alone in that situation where she owns just a couple units. It is crucial for her to get that rent to be able to pay her own mortgage. And yet she's kind of caught in the middle here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you, Susie. I am a lessor, a property owner of two units myself. And so I definitely understand where you're coming from. And I've heard the anger expressed in some lesser forums. You know, again, I've got to reiterate, people have to work together. There's a couple of things that property owners can think about doing if they haven't. One is refinancing right now. Lessors usually by definition own their own property in addition to whatever rental properties they have. And mortgage rates are at just about historic lows. And that can free up some cash flow or get you extra money to be able to cover things. Another important thing that isn't talked about or educated a lot, provided in renter education for property owners, is taking advantage of the various tax breaks that are available for property owners, such as depreciation. And then a third thing is I understand the urge to push back against folks maybe potentially taking advantage of this, but I think that misses the boat. Nobody wants to not pay rent and have a giant bill come due. Nobody wants to be out of work. The thing to do if you can't work out a negotiation is actually to have lessor associations and renter associations actually get together and lobby together for further financial assistance from both the state and federal government. The state has chipped in, states and counties here in Wisconsin have chipped in more than $50 million, but we need roughly $1.8 billion to cover all of the rent between now and the end of the year. So people need to work together with one another, but also together to lobby for more funding.
And Mitch, am I correct in thinking that there was actually no money attached to this moratorium to, say, help people who own properties or who are renting, that it was just a moratorium?
That's correct. That's correct. And we want to, reiterate, we shouldn't see this as a way to divide people against one another. People, everybody is in this together, whether you are own property or rent property, or you just own your own household and you're not in the rental game. This impacts everybody because it's so central to stabilizing all of our neighborhoods.
We're talking right now with Mitch. He's a clinical law professor and the director of the Economic Justice Institute at the UW-Madison School of Law. And we're discussing a new federal eviction moratorium that is set to last through the end of the year. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you dealing with financial difficulties during the pandemic that have made paying rent a concern? How has communication been between you and your landlord during this time? And do you think you benefited from the previous eviction moratorium that expired in July? Are you happy to hear about these new protections? And what questions do you have about Wisconsin's housing laws or resources? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're picking up our conversation with Mitch. He's a clinical professor of law at the UW-Madison Law School, and we're looking at a new federal eviction moratorium in place until the end of the year. And Mitch, I wanted to go back to the situation that you said there was of a huge uptick in in evictions, or at least, you know, evictions being filed after the last moratorium, I can't help but think that January 1st in Wisconsin is a really horrible time to be losing housing. Is there concern that there's going to be another big increase then, or is there a possibility of an extension?
Well, don't we all wish we knew what the future would hold? But certainly, it would be tragic and very, very cold to see thousands and thousands of eviction filings right after the moratorium expires. So, is there a possibility that there might be an extension? Certainly, is there a possibility that we might get some financial assistance chipped in? The Democrats in Congress passed a bill, I believe, in the summer that hasn't been picked up that would provide quite a bit of assistance. The governor has ordered special sessions to discuss assistance, and no action has been taken on those measures. And again, people, if they want to see financial assistance, need to unite with folks that they often sometimes oppose to really, make a unified push for financial assistance, which I think everybody agrees is necessary here.
Let's go to the phones at 800-642-1234. And Charlie in Milwaukee is up. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. A quick question. Let's say someone comes to a renter and says, please rent me an apartment, and then says, I can't pay you. And then they live there until, say, December and leave. Is that possible that someone can become a new renter, claim immediate relief from their rent being required, and then leave without having to pay a bill? Thanks.
Thanks for that call, Charlie. Mitch?
So you could probably imagine a scenario, I could imagine a scenario where that might occur. Now, as a lessor, as a property owner who rents out properties myself, most of us would screen renters to make sure, because we don't want, as property owners, we don't actually want to evict people. It's not good for us to go through court processes. I say that as a lawyer, it's not good. So we would look and make sure that they have income available. We'd ask a couple of basic questions. You can run a credit check as part of that application. So it's possible, obviously, that someone might then become unemployed the day after you approve them, and then they might qualify. But again, they have to swear that they're making their best efforts to make partial payments, to get government assistance, to try to make all of these payments in order to qualify for the moratorium. So I don't foresee, there's nothing in the moratorium that orders us as property owners to fill our rental properties with people who can't pay. However, that's a really smart business opportunity, if you have vacant apartments, to take a lot less rent than you're used to taking, because we don't want homeless people, we don't want community spread of COVID, and some money is better than no money.
We're talking with Mitch right now. He's a clinical professor of law at the UW-Madison Law School, and we are talking about the newly issued federal eviction moratorium and what it means for renters and landlords here in Wisconsin. And let's go back to the phones, and Lisa in Milwaukee is up. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate the information. My question is, I do think that we need to protect some of the tenants. However, who would say that their oath and their agreement to what they're stipulating is true based on the completion of the form? What is the in-depth research or the background to say that if they're being honest or not? Hmm. I think it's great, but the problem that I have, tenants. Well, I mean, people are going to take advantage knowing that they have 4 months of free rent. The other concern that I have, there's no way I can refinance. You know, there's a process to that, and I'm in debt like everybody else is in debt. So I appreciate the response. Have a good afternoon. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lisa. And that's a really interesting question, Mitch. The person who is a renter is filling out this declaration. Is there anyone who's actually following up on those things and checking them? I have to imagine it would be a pretty large scale project to do.
Right. So, you know, that one of the concerns is, you know, is someone making their best efforts to pay? So if you see, you get a declaration from a renter, and then you see them, you know, buy a brand new car, you might follow up with them and inquire about that. The law doesn't prevent people, the moratorium does not prevent lessors from filing eviction actions in court. It simply says that you need to prove that this moratorium does not apply to the person. So just like you would have to prove they haven't paid, you would now have to, in a normal eviction, you would have to prove that they could pay. And so normally your evidence is, I didn't get the rent check. Here your evidence would have to be, I know that they're still, you know, that they aren't making their best efforts. And I know that because, you know, I see them, you know, driving around in a brand new vehicle or something. And then the court would sort it out just like any other eviction action.
And we should also make note of the fact that this does not mean people couldn't be evicted for things other than non-payment, correct?
That's absolutely right. If a renter is harassing their neighbor, creating a disturbance, being unsafe, again, we want safe, stable communities. Everyone does, renters and property owners together. And those are still valid grounds for eviction.
Well, Mitch, thank you so much for joining us today. A lot of good information, and I'm sure there will be much more to talk about in the months ahead.
Thanks for your time and attention to this important topic. You have a great holiday weekend.
You too. Mitch is a clinical professor of law and director of the Economic Justice Institute at the UW-Madison Law School. He was with us to talk about a new federal eviction moratorium, which was issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to try to stop the spread of the COVID-19 virus when people are being evicted from their homes. That moratorium is scheduled to last until the end of the year. And over at WPR.org/centraltime, you can find information from the CDC, including the declaration form that renters need to fill out.